at Eddie Memphis on Twitter. He asks, I think the Mets had the best record in MLB as of June 12th with a record of 45-24. So 21 games over 500. It's their high water mark of the season. Has a team ever had the best record in baseball this late in the season and missed the playoffs? So Eddie, I, you know, without doing some extensive research, I can't fully answer, but what I can say here is I did some digging. Honestly, this was back in June when this swoon kind of first started with the Mets, where I was curious, you know, they'd had their high water mark of 21 games over 500. They started to play very poorly. I think in June, they also had a stretch where they had gone like 3-12, 3-13 over a similar stretch. So not too dissimilar from what we just experienced before this weekend against the Mariners. And what I had found out was, you know, there since the wild card was implemented in the late 90s, the Mets have never had a season where they got to at least 20 games over 500 and missed the postseason. Obviously, before the wild card, that happened all the time because, you know, you only had two teams from every league making the postseason. It was a much smaller pool, you know, so you had years like 1985, 1987, where they, you know, the Mets had won plenty of games and missed out. But since that wild card was added, there's never been a season where the Mets were at least 20 games over 500 and missed the postseason. So, you know, if they somehow managed to not make it this year, it would be historic, at least for, you know, for this franchise. You know, 2007, I think their high water mark was 19 games. 2008 was somewhat similar. I don't think they were quite as good as they were in 2007. And I don't think any other year in this era really even comes close with that. So definitely a mark that I think the Mets want to avoid, that, especially with the resources and expectations of this team. So yeah, I can't speak to the, you know, other teams who were the best team in baseball going into June. But in terms of Mets history, yeah, this would definitely be a historic mark that they would want to avoid. Next up we have James, who reached out via email. He asks, how possible is it that the Mets also bring up Sproat and stick Holmes into the bullpen, and finally admit that McGill should become a reliever, and him getting a place there if he does come back this season? This team shit the bed this season, and if they get hot again and make a run, I'd be very surprised, but to me, these moves need to happen. So I think the Holmes side of things is definitely a solid point. Clay Holmes is already, I think, somewhere over 50-plus innings than he's ever pitched in his life. Obviously, because he's mostly been a reliever in his professional career. He hasn't been a starter since he was in the minor leagues. And I think he maybe made one start in his rookie season with the Pirates 7-8 years ago. But I think, you know, despite his performance on Sunday night, which was definitely solid from what we expect from him at this point, you do wonder just like how much longer is this going to go? And I think also with, you know, how McClain performed on Saturday, and I know it's just one start, and how he performs doesn't, you know, tell you good or bad how somebody else from the minor league system, like a Brandon Sproat's going to do. But I think it kind of does like catch your attention and raises the eyebrow a little bit. So I would definitely consider this. Is it realistic? I think the Mets would at least think about it. You know, Holmes, I know it gets a bad rap for how he performed as the closer for the Yankees in recent seasons, but like, you know, oftentimes it's like very high quality reliever. Mets could use as many arms as they possibly can in the bullpen. So it would be interesting to call up a Sproat. You know, do the Mets want to have their rotation hinging on, you know, 2 out of 5 guys who have never done it in the big leagues before? Probably not. But the counterpoint to that, right, is, do the Mets want their rotation to hinge on Frankie Montas, which they've already decided that they don't, and Clay Holmes, who's a 34-year-old who has only been a reliever his entire career up until this season? So, you know, I think there's an argument for it for sure. In terms of the McGill thing, I'm very curious to see if he makes it back to this roster and where he would be placed. The Mets have a long stretch without any off days coming up. You know, could they bring Miguel back and, you know, slot him in as a sixth starter to give these guys some extra rest? Obviously, Peterson performs better on extra rest. They try to protect Senga in that way. Clay Holmes obviously could use some extra rest if he's going to stay in the rotation. You even have like a guy like Nolan McLean, who he's probably approaching his innings limit. And, you know, how far are the Mets going to want to push him past their original allotment there? If they could, you know, slot in a sixth starter and get all these guys a little bit of extra rest, you know, that could be something that they look to do too. It will definitely be interesting. I don't think McGill factors in too much with this team, but, you know, he did make a rehab start on Sunday. Went over five innings, and, you know, he'll be ready to be back soon. So there's definitely a situation where the Mets have to figure out what to do with him. This next one is from Tom, who submitted his question on our newsletter comments. Tom asks, what will the Mets do with their September call-ups? Also, what are the chances, aside from the call-up in September, we'll see Sproat and Tong this year at Citi? So I know we just obviously talked about Brandon Sproat. I don't think Jonah Tong is going to be in the conversation. I don't think that's particularly realistic at this point. He just made his first ever start in AAA. David Stearns and the organization waited a really long time to even call him up to AAA, which I think some people thought was a little bit odd. So I don't think we're going to see Tong this year. I think that's much more of a 2026 conversation. He is their, you know, prized pitching prospect at this point. So I don't think they want to thrust him into the fire here with almost zero AAA experience under his belt. And yeah, in terms of Sproat, you know, I feel like we're going to see him at some point. Is he going to come in and take Holmes' job? Are they going to put him in the bullpen? I think that remains to be seen, but I do think that we'll see him coming up at some point. In terms of the call-ups, so it's September call-ups, you know, they're not what they used to be, where you could, you know, bring up your entire 40-man roster and have, you know, 10, 13, 15 extra guys up there. It's just two different. It's just two additional guys at this point. I think you'll definitely see Luis Angel Acuña. You saw him come up as the 27th man that you get for some strange reason when you play event games. He came up for Sunday's game, so he'll go back to AAA now. I think you're definitely going to see him just for like the speed alone. He offers a lot coming off the bench, mostly as a pinch runner. Obviously, he still hasn't really developed at the plate offensively at all, but a super solid defender and obviously the fastest guy that the Mets have on their roster. Outside of that, I think they'll call up, you know, a pitcher. Maybe that'll be Sproat if they want to wait till September to call him up. If not him, you know, we could look and see what they want to do. Is, you know, is that going to be, you know, Tyler or McGill? Is that going to be somebody else that maybe we're not thinking about? I'm not quite sure about that. And, you know, some of that will depend on injuries too. You know, does anybody go down at some point? You know, what's going on with Alvarez, all that kind of stuff. This next one is from @SleeperMets on Twitter. He asks, what are the chances of the Mets flipping the switch and making a push to the World Series? I actually asked this on Friday morning, right after the Mets had lost 2 out of 3 to the Braves and had blown 2 games in a row. So pretty funny timing on the question there. I don't think my answer on this would change too much from where I would have the other day, but I think, you know, obviously feeling a little bit better having won a series against the Mariners. Is it possible? It's definitely possible. We've seen it with plenty of teams who, you know, maybe not going through a stretch quite this bad, but, you know, we've seen teams who were stumbling late in the year and flipped a switch and made a run. The 2022 Phillies had absolutely no business making the playoffs. They were terrible in September. They basically were bumbling and stumbling down the stretch, begging for the Brewers, I think, to take that last playoff spot. This is also the first year of that third expanded wild card. So in any other year, they wouldn't have even made it. But, Yeah, they were playing really poorly down the stretch. The Brewers just didn't take advantage of it. So the Phillies wind up getting in. And before you know it, you know, they sweep the Cardinals in the wild card series. They upset the Braves. They beat the Padres and they're in the World Series. Then you had the team that was, you know, the third best team in the NL East that year behind two 101 win teams in the Mets and the Braves, who thought, you know, they were going to be duking it out to win a pennant and potentially a championship. And, you know, the 80 something win Phillies wind up getting the title. And, you know, they don't obviously win that championship. I think a lot of these examples, the teams get to the World Series, but they don't quite finish things off. You know, you also have obviously the Mets from last year started off so poorly, got red hot in June, actually did have that cold stretch in August, which I think we always kind of forget about. We kind of remember the Mets as like, oh, they started really horribly for the first 2 months, then they got hot in June and just rode that all the way into the to the NLCS, which really isn't true. You know, you had a dip in August where, you know, geniuses like me wrote articles saying I'm giving up on the Mets, they're not making the playoffs, which I later retracted, obviously. And, you know, you even had those moments in when they went to Atlanta and they got they lost a really tough game at the end of the season. They lost a couple tough games to the Brewers, and there were moments where it looked like, oh my God, the Mets are going to do it again. They're going to choke at the end of the season. They're going to lose this playoff spot. And they wound up rebounding. I think that those rainouts in Atlanta actually wound up doing the Mets a huge favor. Although at the time it felt like the Mets were getting screwed by Major League Baseball. But yeah, so all that to say, is it possible? Of course it's possible. We've seen it before. But do I necessarily believe that they're going to do that based on the evidence that we've seen lately? I would still say no, but that's always subject to change, right? You know, the team, they had a good weekend, but I think we're just going to need to see a lot more before we get there. I would love to, again, be wrong about this team. I think I held on longer than I normally would have. I think the past version of me would have panicked months ago, whereas I think it really was like the last week or two that finally shook me to the point of like, is it possible this team's not going to make the playoffs? And I think it would still take a huge kind of screw up for this team to miss out. But yeah, all that to say, I think we need a little bit more evidence to support that this team can get back on track. And I hope that we see it. I hope this weekend winds up being kind of, you know, if Senga going down in June was that original nexus point for the season where everything went downwards, like let Nolan McClain coming up and the Mets winning their last two games against the Mariners this weekend be the next nexus point, right? And have that be the linchpin of them turning things around. I hope that that's what happens. Next up from at MSloan24 on Twitter, should the Mets move on from Mauricio, Vientos, and Beatty? Relying on the kids this year is one of the reasons our offense has been so inconsistent. Vientos never really got in a groove because of injury. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting question. I have a hard time. Let's throw Acuna in here as well just to talk about the four infielders. I would be surprised if all four of them were on the team entering the 2026 season. To be fair, I said I would be surprised if all four of them were on the team after the trade deadline. But, you know, if the team didn't get the value they were hoping to get, you know, there's no reason to rush that. There's always the offseason. But, you know, the team has struggled, I think, to balance the playing time with these three guys in particular, with Acuna, you know, being back in AAA. It's three guys for one and a half spots, occasionally two, because you've got Jeff McNeil in the mix. You've got Starling Marte getting the DH at bats against lefties. So there's a lot of moving parts there. And, you know, I would say the three guys that we're talking about here, none of them have been particularly good this year. Of these three, or the four, again, if we're going to bring Acuna into it, Beatty's definitely been the best. He's been about league average. It kind of depends on the day that you check because he's been so inconsistent offensively. But generally speaking, you know, he's sitting right above or right below that 100 OPS plus. His OPS is around, you know, that 700, low 700 range for the most part. And he's been mostly solid at third base defensively, though he did have a few hiccups in the last month or two there. Helped lose a game against the Guardians about a week or two ago with his throwing error. But, you know, of these guys, he has been the best. And if we're just evaluating them against each other, he's the one that deserves the most playing time right now. Vientos, you know, I think we have a couple other questions about him coming up, but, you know, he's had a really, really disappointing year in a way that has kind of killed this team at times. He was so awesome last year when he came up, really from that first moment where he had that walk-off against the Cardinals before he got sent back down to the minor leagues. But he came back up and he was great for those, you know, 3-4 months that he played in the regular season. And he was probably their team's best hitter in the playoffs. He had so many clutch hits, so many big home runs. And we just haven't seen that guy at all this year. He's really looked like a total shell of the version of Mark Vientos that we saw in 2024. And, you know, the Mets point, you know, yeah, he had the injury, although I would argue that Vientos had played a month and a half to 2 solid months straight where he was pretty awful from the get-go before he had that injury. And, you know, it really hasn't changed since then. It was great to see on Sunday night against the Mariners. He did hit a 3-run home run. He hit at the opposite field. That was a swing I think we haven't seen from him very much this year. It was only his 8th home run this year, which is insane to think about. You know, the guy hit almost 30 last year in limited at bats because he barely played until June. So to see not only just like the overall numbers all drop, like I don't think that's entirely surprising that he had such a regression, but the fact that he's not even been hitting home runs, I think has been the most shocking thing. And you know, again, you hope that Sunday's the start of something for him, but it's kind of been a season where every now and then Vientos will have like a single big hit, but it never really turns into a hot streak. So I think we're going to need to see a lot more from him. And then Mauricio, he's really raw. It's hard for him to, you know, it's hard to be tough on him because he's coming off of missing like a year and a half after and having that injury, which was so serious. But, you know, he's really raw. And he's really struggled recently. He's had a lot of non-competitive at-bats, and I'm not quite sure that he's ready to contribute at the major league level, at least this season, for a team that's, you know, fighting, scratching, and clawing to make the playoffs or maybe get back in this race in the division. So, you know, I'm not sure what the Mets have in any of these guys right now, but, you know, in terms of 2025, I think, you know, Beatty deserves the bulk of the playing time. And I really don't love Beatty. I've gotten plenty of arguments with people recently of saying, like, I still don't know that he's a great major league player. I think there's a lot of issues there, a lot of inconsistencies. Most of his hitting really comes at Citi Field too, which is interesting. I think 11 or 12 of his 13 home runs this season have been at home. So he's got a little bit of that home road thing going on too, but he does deserve the bulk of the playing time over the rest of these young infielders. And, you know, in terms of 2026, I think that's an entirely different discussion. And depending on how this year ends, you know, maybe one of these guys steps up, maybe we see a return to form from Vientos and that changes things. But if things stay the same, you know, I think you go into the offseason wondering if third base is an opening that needs to be filled and is not something that's going to be solved internally with any of these guys. Next up from Seaver 15, if the Mets don't make the postseason, is Mendoza gone? I think there's a strong possibility. I understand this question. I know there's been a lot of people who've been going after Mendoza in recent weeks, and I've mostly pushed back against that. Again, I get it. The manager is often the scapegoat. And when you hear the guys say the same exact thing every single night, when they lose every single night, about how they're too talented and this has to change and it's going to come and blah, 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 blah. It's super frustrating. And I get frustrated too. But I think people just have such a short memory when things are going bad, where it's like, did you guys not watch last season? Did you not see how the team rebounded and banded together and went on the run that they did, and how every move that the manager made seemed like was always right and he always had a feel for it? And yeah, that hasn't been there this year. And there's been a lot of times that I've disagreed with moves that he's made or non-moves that he's made. I think some of his explanations during the losing skid definitely left a lot to be desired, but you know, I think it's fair to criticize the manager or, you know, David Stearns from the front office perspective and say, hey, this guy's not having a good stretch. Or you can even say this guy's having a bad year. And I don't think I would disagree with that on either end. But I think there has to be nuance here. And it can't just be like, well, they're not having a great year, so let's fire everybody. You know, if the Mets don't make the playoffs, I do think heads are going to roll. I don't think it's going to be at the level of a Mendoza or a Stearns, because this team is trying to go for sustained success. And if you're firing the manager a year after making the NLCS in his first year, I think you're going to have a hard time building anything sustainable. You're also going to have a hard time getting people to fill that role, because who the hell is going to want to work there if that's the expectation? But, you know, I could see the positional coaches being at risk. I could see the roster itself, maybe the core of this roster, which has largely stayed intact for the last 4 to 5 years. I could see pieces of that maybe getting shifted around, because, you know, Steve Cohen's not going to tolerate if this roster with all the money and assets that they've spent on it can't even make the playoffs. There will be consequences to that, but I don't think it's going to be Mendoza, and I don't think it's going to be Stearns either.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of the Just Mets podcast. If you liked what you heard and want access to full weekly episodes and additional bonus content, you can become a supporter of Just Mets on patreon.com/justmets or on justmets.net.